Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Category one hurricane swirling in the Gulf of Mexico. That is going to work in to parts of the Gulf Coast here as we get through the day today. We're expecting some strengthening winds at 85 miles per hour right now, but notice what happens before landfall. Talking about a category four hurricane in the Big Bend area and then quickly working up parts of the southeast. We'll see widespread damage from this massive and fast moving storm.
That was Andy Grossman just about, I don't know, 20 minutes ago, NBC's meteorologist for the National, talking about the possible effects, or at least the possible path of category, still a one at the moment, Hurricane Helene working its way towards our east. And what kind of effects could that see in the Big Bend? That's actually the biggest concern. And these models and these projections have been kind of all over the place. But, you know, a lot of people who don't normally get too concerned, acting more concerned about what could happen at the Big Bend area, like Indian River and that kind of vicinity, in terms of storm surge. In fact, on the NOAA storm surge map, they've got numbers of 15 to 20 feet at the worst. Now, that is way to our east, okay? That is way to our east. But if that turns out, and, you know, the last time we've had a couple of storms, there's been a lot of, you know, wow, we're going to have 15 to 20 foot, and it turns out to be, you know, 6 to 8 or 10. And so it can be less, right? But this is the sort of max to be prepared for.
That damage, wind damage, 75 to 95 mile per hour winds for Apalachicola. Closer to the center, over 120 mile per hour winds. Farther away, we're still talking at least tropical storm force and that potentially hurricane force winds working up into places like Atlanta. So the power outages will be there, the wind damage will be there, and a whole wall of water is expected across parts of this region, 10 to 20 feet for the higher end. The farther south you go, places like Sarasota, Tampa Bay, up to 8 feet of storm surge. That is life-threatening, of course, along the Big Bend area.
And yeah, and this morning, okay, you've got tropical storm warnings. In fact, the only part of Florida that doesn't have a tropical storm warning is us. Okay, so, and in fact, if you looked at the cone of mostly certainty, we always call it the cone of uncertainty. I actually think that these models have gotten so good in the last couple of years that you can call it the cone of pretty good likelihood. It doesn't roll off the tongue exactly, but the cone of pretty good likelihood did move east overnight. It moved significantly east overnight. And, okay, so a lot of people yesterday evening were saying that they saw a movement west of the cone. And I have no idea what they're talking about because I watch this thing. It's my job to pay attention to this stuff. And, you know, not as a meteorologist, but as a guy who takes in the end product, the graphs, the charts, and watches the projections or whatever. And I didn't see what they saw. I saw no movement to the west. It looked exactly the same to me. And this morning, it's moved east, which to me, given that we're pretty close, you know, it's moving about 12 miles an hour north-northeast, heading east of the Apalachicola, you know, trigger. If Florida's a gun, Apalachicola's the trigger. It's going east of there. I mean, not by a lot, but it's definitely not coming west. It's not going to hit Panama City Beach, okay? I mean, it's going to have effects in Panama City Beach, okay? But, you know, that's not where the eye is going. At least it certainly doesn't look that way at this point. The 4 a.m. model from NOAA says that. And so if you look at across all of the different products that are put out about this, everything is east, which is great for us. It's not great for who will live in those vicinities. Okay, and they're going to get hit pretty hard. But everything from our perspective looks significantly, I mean, it looked pretty good yesterday, but there was a little bit of increased chance of wind, a little bit of increased chance of, and when I say wind, I mean, you know, tropical storm force wind 39 miles an hour or higher. Okay, it had been around 20, 25, maybe 30%, depending on, you know, east Santa Rosa, 30%, west Escambia, 20% yesterday. Those percentages have changed now. It's even lower. The chance of tropical storm force winds in our area, very low anytime today. It has gotten a little bit slower. The expectation is that if it does happen, it would arrive a little bit later on in the morning. Previously, we'd been thinking that Thursday morning at 8, this morning at 8, was when if the wind was going to hit, it was going to hit about that time. It's now somewhere around 11, maybe, okay, for the earliest possible impact of, you know, tropical storm force winds. So the impacts have slowed down a little bit compared to what we were thinking. But the rain prediction is currently zero. It had been 0 to 2 inches last night, and now it's zero. In fact, the only place close to us that's expected to get rain, if you kind of looking at the projections, you've got to go to like Okaloosa County, you know, to see any expected rainfall. And so what are we thinking here? We're going to send the linemen on their way after the storm passes overnight tonight into Friday. God bless them for what they do. But Tallahassee, as you heard the mayor there, David Wayne, playing the clip from him yesterday, saying that, you know, Tallahassee's never gotten a straight hit. I thought Michael was a straight hit on Tallahassee. Maybe I misremember that, but, you know, pretty close. In any case, I guess it was a little bit west of there, I suppose. Anyway, they're preparing for the worst. The military bases also, in my own research, I have a little bit of a discrepancy with what I have heard Channel 3 and us, you know, reporting. And so what I can tell you is definitely Hurlburt is at Mission Essential Personnel and definitely NAS Whiting Field. They put it on their Facebook pages. I haven't seen that announcement from NAS Pensacola, although NAS Pensacola is closed to the public today. And Eglin is also, I did not see them put a, you know, closed to essential personnel. They just said, you know, kind of be aware, even though they're right close. I mean, that's, you know, just west of the point of Apalachicola. And the commander over there, the colonel, actually put out a Facebook post yesterday basically saying that portions of the eastern part of where people live and work at Eglin, yeah, they probably want to, Tyndall, that they were not closing. They, you know, they were just be careful and maybe evacuate if you live in McCullough or Franklin County. So, sorry, my information is that Eglin and NAS Pensacola have not moved to Mission Essential Personnel. They may have, but I did not see that personally. NAS Whiting Field and Hurlburt have. And by the way, the military scale for hurricane preparedness, it's called HURCON. Okay, it's not that I'm saying it with a Cajun accent. It's just HURCON, HURCON. It does not depend on the strength of the storm. It depends entirely on when it's coming. So, you know, HURCON 1 and 2, like it's 12 hours, 24 hours, 36 hours, 48 hours, that kind of thing. So you hear HURCON 1, like, it's just how soon will they likely get tropical storm force winds. That's all that's talking about. So, yes, we have had schools closed. My suspicion is, okay, and remember that's based on wind. Usually, you know, they think there's going to be wind. You can't put buses out when it's going to be windy. My suspicion is that if it were possible to delay the decision about school closures until this morning at 6 a.m., which you cannot do. You cannot wait until 6 a.m. to make that call. They had to make it yesterday evening. My suspicion is they all would have stayed open today. John, you disagree? You've been watching this. You're pretty good on weather stuff.
No, I think they would have kept them open today.
And I will say also, I think there's a little bit of a, well, they did it, so we should do it. I think everybody's always trying to do the right thing. Okay, everybody is always trying to do what is best for the kids, best for the community. They understand that closing school is a massive inconvenience for everyone. Okay, they do get that. But everybody also doesn't want to be the person that the one school district that kept school open and then, you know, 40 miles an hour winds, 50 miles an hour winds, buses flipped over, roofs ripped off. You remember what happened to, like, damage over off of off of Longleaf the last time we had a storm, and nobody even really knew about it, but it was, you know, containers flipped over at George Stone and, you know, some of the walkway awnings ripped off at the high school. You know, nobody wants to be the one that kept school open when that stuff turns up. So there's a little bit of the fear, which is understandable, and there's a little bit of the who's going to blink first. Because yesterday at 1, Santa Rosa and Escambia schools put out a note, we're staying open. And then at 4:30, we're closing. Which, things can change. You got to adapt. PSC put out an announcement thereafter. UWF waited till about 6 o'clock, and they UWF has not always put out an announcement. They tell their students, but they don't always tell the rest of us. So I called, and they're like, yeah, we're closing. I'm like, okay. But I do think that that was largely, and, you know, Pensacola put out a note early in the day, even in the afternoon, and, you know, we're staying open. And I asked Don Kerr, the city council manager, I said, is the city council meeting happening? And last night he's like, we'll reevaluate at 9:30. Well, then all of a sudden they decided to close everything. You know, I think I didn't check the time on this email, but to see, I just want to tell you accurately whether it was this morning or whether it was last night. This was 10 o'clock last night. They decided to close. So the city council meeting is not happening today. At least I'm 95% sure that's true. I mean, they've made the announcement that city offices are closed. That should include the city council meeting. It just wasn't specified in the message, and I didn't want to bug people at 4 a.m., you know, to ask them that question. But it seems to me like the city council meeting tonight is going to be canceled. As far as I know, Santa Rosa County Commission meeting is on. I talked to Brad Baker last night, and he said, yes, it's on. We're going to reevaluate when it comes to the rezoning meeting that's supposed to take place tomorrow night. So unless I get news that that has changed, that's going to be on. That's where they're going to vote about, like, the recycling plan and some other stuff. That's the main thing that's going to be on their agenda. So here's where we're at, in my opinion, okay? The non-meteorologist, Andrew McKay, I suspect at the end of the day we're going to have basically some opportunities to fly kites. There you go. And there's going to be a lot of grumbling parents. Why did you cancel classes for this? And there's going to be, you know, people who wanted to go to the city council meeting, four of them, you know, are going to wonder why did that get canceled. But just have a little bit of grace, because people are always making these hard calls in a situation where there's a lot of uncertainty, and they want to do what's right for you and for the rest of the population. And nobody wants to get this wrong and say it's going to be nothing, you know, when it turns out to be a something. But all the indicators are that for us, this is as close to a nothing as it could be. Okay. 522 on News Radio. John, because you're really good on weather stuff, and you've been right. Doing this a long time. You've been working at Cat Country, and you've been working in radio for forever. And, you know, I just want to, if I ever say anything on this subject particular, I want to be as humble as I can on this in terms of not pretending I'm an expert. But anything I said you disagree with?
Nope.
Okay.
We're good.
Yeah, there you go.
We're good, brother.
522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Sweet chocolate reward. Sweet chocolate reward.
This is not just the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat at Walgreens. This is the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat right after receiving all their vaccines in one trip. This is the sound of treating yourself, because you protected yourself.
Stop by or schedule both your flu and COVID-19 vaccines today and grab yourself a sweet treat while you're at it. Vaccine subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Ricky Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it!
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
I look good. I mean, really good.
Hey, everyone! Come and see how good I look!
Now, don't get me wrong. I just want to make sure I'm clear about this, that there are going to be massive effects from this storm to our east. This is a bad storm for our state. This is. And everything that happens to our state affects us because of insurance rates and the people who live to our east. It's going to be terrible, okay? I hope it's not as terrible as it looks like it's going to be, but, you know, only time will tell. The only mildly good note, and we learned this the last time around, is that as bad as it's likely to be for the Big Bend area, that is a lesser populated part of the state, and so there are fewer structures and fewer people to be put at risk. But is you know, they didn't get storms ever. I remember that the last time around, they didn't get, you know, and then all of a sudden, like, boom, boom, boom. What is happening? David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Federal prosecutors are expected to unseal a criminal indictment against New York City Mayor Eric Adams today. According to multiple sources, that indictment stems from a federal corruption investigation focusing at least in part on whether Adams and his campaign conspired to receive illegal contributions from the government of Turkey.
This is the weirdest story to me because all the details are nobody knows. I mean, like you said, that's kind of the best theory, but there's nothing official. Nobody's sure. They've been doing an investigation for a while. It's sources say there's been an indictment. And Eric Adams comes out with a, I didn't do nothing. And even if I did nothing, you can't prove nothing. And even if you can prove it, I still didn't do it. I mean, you know, he just kind of came out with a, I don't even know what's going on here, but I didn't do anything. You know, people are calling for him to step down. Other people are like, that seems a little bit premature. It's the weirdest story.
It's really strange.
It's a bizarre.
I guess we'll learn more later today.
And I will say this, you know, we dealt with some of this stuff with Matt Gaetz because of, you know, allegations, right?
Right.
And even, you know, this policy of like the FBI doesn't confirm or deny investigations, all that kind of stuff. You know, people can just get their names dragged through the mud, whether they did anything or not. And
right?
It's really
Absolutely.
Not good. I'm no defender of Eric Adams or anything, just in general. You know, all of a sudden, Eric Adams is the guy who's been indicted for some terrible, horrible thing. Has he?
Well, the old saying, the process is the punishment.
That's a great phrase. I don't think I've ever heard that phrase. That's a great phrase. I appreciate that.
The man who's suspected of throwing an explosive device inside a California courthouse Wednesday was apparently set to be arraigned there that day on a firearm violation charge. Authorities say Nathan McGuire threw a bag that exploded near a security screening station that injured five people, and now he's going to face attempted murder and several other charges in addition to that initial firearms charge.
So that's a pretty serious action, but the comedian in me, it's like, gun charge? Hold my beer.
Watch this.
Yeah, no kidding.
Disney Plus cracking down, Andrew, on password sharing now. It's terrible. But they are allowing you to add somebody outside of your household for $7 a month if you want to do that. But apparently they're going to be cracking down on the password sharing here real quick.
Is it just me or is Disney like the most Gestapo-y of all of the entities when it comes to controlling their products, their copyrights, their denying of the German kid named Skywalker because they own the Star Wars content, right? Like, you know, they just seem, you know, the mouse is not a very nice mouse.
No.
John, am I wrong about this?
No, I mean, you're right.
I remember, I'll give you a very personally annoying example of this. You may not remember this, but back in 2000, gosh, it might have even been late 2015 or early 2016 in the presidential election year. Jimmy Kimmel and then candidate Trump, okay, wasn't even the candidate, he was just a candidate, sat down and Jimmy Kimmel had written a book for Trump to read and Trump read it in his voice. It was a kid's book written with Dr. Seuss-like rhymes, but written in his style of speaking. It was brilliant. I put that video up on my Facebook page and it shared, and I don't even remember the number because I'll tell you what happened, but it was, I mean, millions of shares. It was unbelievable. I was getting friend requests from New Zealand and stuff. You know, it's crazy. So at that point, you're like, no, I don't want to be part of all this. ABC complained and they took it down.
Oh.
Because ABC, right? Disney.
Right.
They're all a part, Marvel. It's all a part of that same corporate blob that is super restrictive about their copyrights. So personally, I don't like them.
And they've that's ruined a good how thing. Andrew got banned from the Magic Kingdom.
That's exactly right. Space Mountain
this
for you.
Text that's coming in. It says, "Dear Mr. McKay, this is corporate. your trip you were planning on next year, you do not have to come." 437-1620. Somebody says, "I spent 5 years working for the mouse. He never sleeps." All right, fair enough. Schools, many bridges may close when they reach 40 miles an hour winds, of course. High-profile school buses, sketchy and moderate to high winds. Some kids live in rural areas. It can become hazardous. All true. To close schools is a hard decision. It must be made with kid safety. No, I totally agree. That's why I said it the way I said it. I do not challenge the decision. I don't disagree with the decision. I don't criticize the decision. I'm just saying that if they were able to make the decision this morning instead of last night, I think schools would be open today.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm CJ Papa. Hurricane Helene targeting Florida.
It's about to go through the warmest water on its trajectory. And there's really nothing in its way. And that's why we think it's going to be a major hurricane. Borderline, maybe Category 4. It doesn't matter. The results are going to be the same. It's going to be the potential for storm surge of up to 18 feet.
Fox senior meteorologist Janice Dean. Fox Weather's meteorologist Michael Estiman, Tampa.
The size of this storm really matters. The tropical storm diameter on this thing is over 700 miles at peak maximum later on this afternoon.
Fox News confirming New York City Mayor Eric Adams indicted Wednesday night on federal criminal charges. He's refusing calls to step down, blaming the probe on critical comments aimed at the White House for not enough help to deal with the migrant crisis. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. A 58-year-old Pensacola man has died. And this is after a motorcycle crash on Mobile Highway. This happened early this morning, about 1:30 this morning. The rider was on Mobile Highway, took the North New Warrington entrance ramp, but then went off of the road and hit a tree. EMS pronounced the man dead at the scene of the crash. The Florida Highway Patrol is still investigating. Attorneys for Navy Chief Petty Officer Bree Kuhn's murder trial rested their case early, eliminating testimony from Dr. Julie Harper, who had planned to testify on Kuhn's behalf, saying she suffered from PTSD and spousal abuse. Kuhn is on trial for first-degree premeditated murder for the killing of her husband, Colin Turner, back in 2021. According to the News Journal, during court proceedings this week, Kuhn's brother Eric testified and said he heard the incidents that led up to the fatal shooting. He described hearing screaming and things being hit, said he knew his sister had a gun at that time. Jury deliberations will begin in that case today. Well, Hurricane Helene is expected to cause some strong wind gusts here in our area today. That's led to several different changes. All public schools across Northwest Florida are closed today. Escambia, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa counties have all canceled classes and extracurricular activities. All three counties do expect to resume classes as normal tomorrow. Also today, the University of West Florida and Pensacola State College have closed their campuses, and the city of Pensacola's city offices are going to be closed today. Only essential city employees need to report to work. Officials say Hurricane Helene is still moving towards Florida's Gulf Coast, threatening to bring high winds and life-threatening storm surge. The latest update from the National Hurricane Center has that storm still is a Category 1 right now, with maximum sustained winds of 90 miles an hour. It's about 350 miles to the southwest of Tampa, moving towards a landfall in the Big Bend area late tonight. It'll be a powerful storm by that time and could have winds that reach 130 miles per hour. It is 534 News Radio 92.3, and right now we have 73 degrees, cloudy skies in Pensacola. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We
We will have a chance of rain as we go throughout the day today. Otherwise, cloudy skies and breezy conditions. We are under a wind advisory today as Helene makes its way to our east. Going to be making landfall in the Big Bend. For us locally, wind advisory in place. 20 to 30 mile an hour winds gusting even higher. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Again, 73 right now in Pensacola. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Global chip stocks have rallied this morning after U.S. memory semiconductor maker Micron posted revenue guidance that topped expectations and boosted its share price. Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix both saw their shares rise in South Korea. Dutch semiconductor equipment maker ASML rose more than 4% in early trade in Europe. U.S. Steel announced an arbitration board has ruled in favor of Nippon Steel's $14.9 billion buyout of the company. The United Steelworkers Union, however, disagreed with the decision. Giant Eagle has announced long-term cost cuts to 200 produce items that it says will save customers an estimated $25 million in annual savings. Major chains such as Target, Walgreens, and Aldi have all announced major price cut initiatives this year, working to hang on to their customers and pull in new ones. Futures are slightly higher. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials dropped 293. That's Your Money Now.
Locally owned and operated, Pensacola Poolscapes offers a lot more than pool liner replacement and pool supplies. Imagine unwinding after a long day in your own luxurious spa where relaxation meets elegance. At Pensacola Poolscapes, they have a stunning selection of high-quality bullfrog spas and swim spas, perfect for soothing those aches, getting fit, and relaxing. And right now, they're offering end-of-summer rebate, just in time to enjoy the upcoming fall weather. Visit them online at PensacolaPoolscapes.com or on Gulf Breeze Parkway across from Tiger Point.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Parrish packages are back, and they're featuring the number one compact tractor in the United States, the Kubota L2502 with quick attach loader, Land Pride 6-foot cutter, and Land Pride 6-foot disc, all for $29,999 cash or as low as $385 a month. Doesn't include tax fees or insurance. Plus, you get a free pipe top trailer. Visit them at 6701 Mobile Highway. Parrish Tractor, one of the largest Kubota dealerships in the country. 0% APR financing now through 9/30/24. See them or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
Are you a business owner? Do you love sports? I bet your audience does too. What if I told you I could help you reach your audience while they are at a sporting event? Hi, I'm Lexi with ADX Digital, and I can help you connect with your audience. Call 850-262-6000 and build a digital campaign with me today. ADX Digital is locally owned and part of the ADX Communications family, inclusive of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5.
Next time on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Afternoons are better on News Radio 92.3. Top trending stories, financial news, sports, flight information, interviews, traffic, and the most accurate five-day forecast. This is Chris Bryant along with Austin Price. It's Pensacola Right Now. Happens just after 4 on News Radio 92.3.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 till 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Just very, very briefly, the models last night, the path of the storm did move east a little bit, and so we are even less concerned about direct effects here, although there are some wind advisories for our area, which is why the school's probably closed, because when that comes down, they don't really have a choice. And there's some tropical storm warnings out in the water. So not on land, but in the water out offshore from Okaloosa and Santa Rosa and Escambia counties. But, you know, primary effects not to be expected here. Yesterday, I had a good chance to talk to Mayor D.C. Reeves, and two notes. One is the city council meeting that we talked quite a bit about yesterday. Looks like it's not going to be happening tonight because of, again, the offices all being closed to the city of Pensacola yesterday late at 10 o'clock. And number two, we did learn something else about the camping ordinance that is going to be relevant to the conversation. I'll mention it afterwards. It'll be better to kind of have the conversation than afterwards. I'll come back with the clarification just so you know. Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Glad to be back.
Great to have you. So the big issue to me that I want to talk about with you, we'll talk about the storm a little bit, but you know, the big issue I want to talk about was this homeless ordinance that you guys are offering for Thursday night, the anti-camping ordinance, I should say. It's not really a homeless ordinance per se. If people haven't been following this story, of course, the governor signed into law HB 1365. I think that's the number, if I'm not mistaken. The one that prohibits camping in public spaces. And your proposal now is to prohibit camping on private property, including residences, unless they have the permission of the owner. And any camping on businesses or commercial properties or anything like that. And to prohibit sleeping in cars as well as a sub-definition of camping. Do I basically have this right?
Yeah, that's a pretty good summary.
Okay, so let's start with the first question I have is the camping in cars one. I know the idea here was to enact basically the state statute at the local level, but this actually goes beyond the state statute. The camping in cars one is actually allowed under the state statute. Why is that one included in this one?
Well, just to back up a second, I mean, you've laid it out correctly. Ultimately, one of the largest fundamental misunderstandings about homelessness and visible homelessness in any city is what the city's ability to do or not do something is. And all you got to do is go on social media or, you know, I'll get an email every now and then that says, you know, I don't want to look at that person. Why don't you pick them up? There's been court precedent for years and years, and we don't have to go over on radio, that has certain precedent in place that says that, you know, they're really tied the hands of cities and states. And that has now all changed and continues to change within the last 6 months. So I think it's important for people to understand the context of how we've gotten here. So to your point, House Bill 1365 voted in by the legislature. And so 98% of what we're presenting to council on Thursday night is so we can actually have some level of enforcement of those rules. As it sits on the current ordinances in the books, those state laws are great, but we have no ability to do anything, you know, under the current ordinances of the city. So that this is really a true up, if you will, of ordinances. You know, I'd let Mike Wood tomorrow give you better anecdotal examples, you know, but what I can tell you is what we wanted to eliminate is the difference between camping on private property or public property and being in a vehicle on you know, a public commercial property, and that being the difference. We just had some particular issues with that. And so, you know, that was added in there on the advice, frankly, of legal counsel and enforcement. So, you know, that, you know, I certainly have a lot of trust in them of knowing what's out there, what are some of the problems that we deal with. And so we've included that in there.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that's the one, honestly, I was at first concerned about the prohibitions on commercial property. I think there's questions about vacant property and enforcement of the, you know, residential property without permission of the owner. We can talk about that in a second, but the car one is the one that caught me by surprise, specifically because the state statute protects that essentially. And when I think about the homeless population, as you well know, of course, there's lots of different dimensions to it. But there are a significant number of people who they have a job, they have enough money to afford rent, and then something changes, something hits, rent goes up, whatever, you know, some crisis. And they move from their apartment into their car, and often with kids, right? And, you know, kids in a shelter space is very challenging. There are very few opportunities for that. And so for a lot of homeless people, living in their car is the only viable option for both safety and just having a place to do it. This would now seem to make that illegal, and I'm worried about the impact of doing that.
Well, understand, and again, this is probably too convoluted of an issue to talk about. I'll come back into the studio and we can talk through it. But
okay.
What I'd tell you is currently there is no overnight sleeping in vehicles in public spaces and public right of way right now. I mean, could you imagine if, you know, whether it was an RV or a bus, if you just had public space that was taken up by RVs and buses and cars and everything like that. We already have rules against that as it is. So, there isn't just sleep in your car or your RV in a public parking lot for as long as you want. That you know, as you can imagine, that doesn't exist.
Right now it's illegal for somebody to sleep in their car on a street where there's no parking restrictions?
You are not allowed to be staying overnight in public parking spaces. No.
What about on a street, like in a community or something, or just on a street where there's, you know, street parking and no prohibition on overnight parking?
We're getting technical enough. You'd probably need to ask Vanessa in our city attorney's office. I'm not a lawyer. What I'm telling you is the examples that come across my desk, which are RVs. There's been one that had been at Corinne, in the city spaces along Corinne Jones on Government back and forth overnight. And no, absolutely, there is no. I'm fairly confident in telling you that it's not permitted, because where would it end? I mean, in other words, as I said, why wouldn't every public spot be an RV space that you could just stay in overnight? If you're allowed to just...
Yeah, I see that concern. And I'm seeing both. I am seeing the concern of what happens when this gets out of hand, certainly. But I'm also seeing the concern of... And I don't really know numbers. I mean, I have no idea what the numbers are. But I'm guessing that you're talking in the hundreds of people who live in cars in our community. And so if you're making it illegal to sleep in a car... Unless you can find a place to park that somebody's going to allow and give you permission for, I always get the concerns. But I also am worried about outlawing homelessness itself, and then where do these people go? You know, it's fine to remove people from the park, but where do you drop them off? You know, that's kind of where I'm at on all of this. Let me just put you.
I think that's an important conversation for us to have as a community, hasn't really happened. So,
yeah,
and that's what makes this issue complex is it's like, oh, where are these people going to go? Well, we're investing $1.1 million in temporary shelters to be given to our current existing nonprofits out there that are already helping reduce homelessness. Anybody else can join us if they'd like in trying to also mitigate, invest dollars into trying to lower those things. And our nonprofit, I'm not speaking of our nonprofits who do an amazing job. I just met with them 2 weeks ago. I'm talking about, our business community, our the local city, state governments. And one of my biggest issues with this ordinance as a whole, or with this House Bill 1365, and I've shared this with Senator Gates and some of our state leadership is that, this is an unfunded mandate, understand right. We have obligations in this. It clearly states that we have to cure within 5 days if someone is camping on private property or in someone's doorway on Talfot Street. We have to cure that within 5 days. That is state law.
And like you said, it's unfunded, and you can be sued come January. You can be sued if you're not properly remedying this problem. One of the other things in the ordinance that caught my attention, and I know the city council talked about this. Well, what about my grandkids camping in my backyard? Well, with permission of the homeowner is fine. But I think that's kind of the clean case. The more complicated case is, what do you do when somebody is, for example, staying overnight in a vacant home or in an undeveloped lot, and then, the PPD rolls up and says, hey, you got to go. And they're like, no, we have permission. How do you verify that? Who do you contact? How do you get in touch with the even the commercial? Commercial will be prohibited, but you know, all these residential. How do you verify that they've got or don't have permission?
Well, to answer that correctly, what you'd have to ask is, what do we do right now?
Yeah.
So right now the answer is the city has no ability to do anything. There's great. We could run through every ordinance of the city, and I can give you a gray area example of, well, how are you going to verify that? Well, right now we can't. We can't verify, nor do we have the enforcement ability to do anything. So, we could gray area the other way and say, well, we don't have an ordinance at all, and I'm not sure if that's the owner or not, but we're just going to allow people to continue to, you know, camp on this person's vacant property, whether they have permission or not. What I can tell you is we run into lots of those gray areas. Is, hey, there's a neighbor. I think that we had an issue on Lejeune Drive, since I've been there, where there's people camping, and do they have permission or not, and we can't get a hold of them. So then now what you have is an encampment for weeks and weeks that may or may not have been permissible by the owner. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes, there's going to be gray areas in everything we do, but at least we're getting ourselves to a point where the city, per the state law as well, it has the ability to do something about trying to enforce the law.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, maybe what I'm thinking here is, as I read the ordinance and I thought about the implications, it feels like maybe there's some elements to it that need more refining. Maybe a protocol for contacting the owner would be an important element of it. Maybe some kind of discussion about what to do with people who are staying in their cars, or, you know, how much time would that be? I don't know. Just, you know, I totally agree with you that we don't want, you know, RVs camped at Bayview Park or Corinne Jones or even on streets. That there's certainly, when it becomes enough, it becomes a real problem. On the other hand, I just want to be cautious about, you know, look, I lived near Grants Pass, where the Supreme Court case originated that ruled that cities could basically ban homelessness. And, you know, even though we might be allowed to do so, I'm not sure that that's the city that we want to be, even though I totally understand all of the challenges that come with public homelessness and panhandling and all of the rest of it. So, it seems like a lot more conversation to be had. So,
exactly. And I would say, look, I appreciate that. You believe in the city's ability to track every person on the hour and every space that we own at every public property.
Right.
The reality is, let's talk reality, which is,
agreed.
Are we going to know every person spending one night in one vehicle in one place? No, we don't know that now. I mean, that's impossible in this size of a city. This ordinance would allow us, if we're talking about a serial issue, to be able to uphold that ordinance.
Yeah, and look, I think I know where your heart is on this, and I know where the city council is on this. I just think as we all know, it's an incredibly complicated thing to think about, and I'm just a little concerned that the way this ordinance is written, it's going to be putting us in more of a harassing kind of paradigm with some of these people than we need to be. But I also get what you're trying to accomplish too. I'm very conflicted on this one, as you can tell.
Yeah.
You guys are getting a lot of thought to it as well. We always like to end with a little bit of a quick round, a lightning round, just some, you know, kind of fun topics. And, you know, obviously we had a pretty serious conversation. Here's a simple one. When you have leftovers, what kind of container do you put them in? Or are you an anti-leftovers kind of guy? I mean, are you Rubbermaid, Tupperware, you know, the sour cream container, or are you anti-leftover?
Just a Tupperware guy, I guess.
Okay.
But if
all
I can
right.
find the matching top correctly, that's the key. It's whichever one I can find the top.
The same gremlins that get rid of your socks in the dryer, right, are the ones responsible for the Tupperware.
Exactly.
Was there a book that you can remember that first got you interested in reading? We've been talking about how, teachers have gone and schools have gone away from reading whole books, which I think is a horrendous decision. But is there a book that got you excited about reading back in the day?
I was big into the Goosebumps books back in the day.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if that dates me.
No.
I've read a few of those, and they were short enough, you know, for my attention span. So that was
Hey, look, short books are books that get read a lot of times. And then the last one, and this is just going to be, you know, there's no resolving this one, but it is an interesting note. The word Caramel, you know, the inside of a Rolo, for example. How do you say that word for that golden, delicious gooiness?
Yeah, I would say caramel. Is that? I mean, there it can't be. I joke and call it caramel, but that would assume that there's not another A. So.
All right. All right. Well, these are the frustrations that I deal with in my life. So I think we can probably still be friends, and we can at least have a professional relationship. It's caramel. It's a caramel.
Okay. All right. So it's C-A-R-M-E-L is what you're saying?
That's right.
Like the city in California?
Yeah. And when you don't caramelize the onions. That's a conversation for another day. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure. Look forward to it. I'm sure it'll be a very robust discussion tomorrow at City Council, and we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you, sir.
All right.
By the way, in California, I believe they pronounce it Carmel, just for clarity's sake. So, okay, two things I want to clarify after that interview. Number one, city council meeting tonight has apparently been canceled. I go by inference here because they have closed all city offices today. That does not specify, and I just didn't want to wake anybody up at 5 a.m. That didn't specify the city council meeting was canceled, but I am interpreting it that way because logically, if you close city offices the whole day, that would include closing City Hall for the meeting tonight. Number two, there is a clause in the ordinance that comes after the clause about overnight camping in your car that says you cannot engage in a pattern of behavior that indicates you're turning this into like a campsite, basically. So the lot of concerns about the single night camping, overnight camping, like people camping at the Walmart or staying overnight at the Walmart, which they allow, which makes sense because if you're Walmart, why wouldn't you want to let people stay in your parking lot overnight? Because in the morning, what are they going to do? Buy stuff. Or if you're Cracker Barrel, they're going to buy breakfast, right? That's good business sense to let people stay one night in your parking lot. But this ordinance doesn't affect that, should not affect that, because it's only affecting more enduring, where you set up shop as if you are, staying in that place for a long time. So I really appreciate the mayor clarifying that after our talk yesterday. But this is going to be a conversation when it does come before City Council, the particular nature of that ordinance. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
The life of every child is precious beyond measure. If you care for a child with a disability and have limited income and resources, help is available. Children with a physical or mental disability or who are blind may qualify for monthly cash payments through the Supplemental Security Income Program, or SSI. The program provides help to meet basic needs for food, clothing, or a place to live, and disability-related needs. It's money that can make a meaningful difference. If you're the parent or caregiver of a child or teenager you think may be eligible, call Social Security at 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSIKids to learn how to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSIKids. It's real help for the children. Message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for fall semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu.
Let's go Florida State!
How you do it is equally as important.
The Florida State Seminoles travel to Texas this Saturday for a primetime ACC matchup with the SMU Mustangs.
FSU battles SMU Saturday at 5 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware, All Season Service Network, A1 Auto Diesel Repair, DeFranco Gas, and Calvert's in the Heights.
Let's go Florida State!
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3.
5:59 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former First Lady Melania Trump will be sitting down for an interview this morning on Fox and Friends, and she hasn't given an interview in more than a couple of years now. Also hasn't been on the campaign trail much.
Yeah, interesting to see what she's going to talk about the assassination attempt. It sounds like it's pre-taped, but they're going to release it in bits and pieces all this morning.
Listen on air.